Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated March 29th, 2016. We'll begin today with an article that is on the first page, and it was written by Donette Beckett, H&R staff writer. The headline is Small Town, Big Comfort. For a family of four to attend a movie theater for the latest film can be more of a hassle than it is worth. Waiting in long lines, fighting the kids, and the price have kept many families home waiting for easier access to that must-see film. Not too long ago, a night out at the movies was a fun event. Since watching a movie on the big screen is supposed to be an experience, small-town theaters believe it should be a good one. Independent and small-town theater owners know their audiences want the feeling of film-going nostalgia. The little theaters take us back to the old days, said Adam Cross, Pena Roseland Theater manager. Although the theaters have had to keep up with the progress of the movie business with 3D digital projectors, CinemaScope, wider screens, and surround sound, the owners know more is needed to keep an audience coming back. Those extras often lie in the detail. The buildings that house the theaters usually were built to handle movies, although they have gone through transformations. This is a quote. We took a 100-year-old theater and made do with what we had, said Skip Houston, owner of the Avon Theater in Decatur. The Avon opened 17 years ago after being closed for 5 years. A group of volunteers restored the theater to a manageable venue. Throughout the years, the theater was used for other productions, including a vaudeville show and a Branson-style show. None would last long. The Avon wants to be a movie theater, Houston said. Behind the scenes, pieces of the past can be seen, including a statue of an angel. The marquee of Borman's Roxy Theater has never moved from Shelbyville's Main Street since it opened in the 1950s, although the building was used for other businesses. The theater closed in 1966 with Mary Poppins. When the Shelbyville Chamber of Commerce purchased the theater, they showed the same film for the grand premiere in 2003. Quote, the screen and slanted floor were still there, said Camise Barker, manager of Borman's Roxy Theater. Some theater owners have kept to the original aesthetics as close as possible. The Roseland Theater opened in 1940. Little has been done to change the look. It is a pretty grand theater, Cross said. We've never really remodeled. The intimacy of the theater is also appealing to the audience. The rooms fit families comfortably with 200 to 800 seats, but the closeness comes from the attention given by the theater staff. They may dress up for a special showing, such as the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The staff at the Taylorville Cinema often assists families to their seats with popcorn and running children. It's more personable, said Mike Wiseman, owner of the theater. According to Houston, the smaller theaters often compete with the multiplexes. Quote, every single movie comes with a battle, he said. As independent owners, the theaters can choose the movies. Quote, but you don't get every movie you want, Wiseman said. Sometimes we get a movie on the third run. One way to keep the audiences in their seats is to hold prices low. A family visiting a small theater can still afford a night out with popcorn and drinks included. Although the concessions are less expensive, audiences often decide they taste better than those at the larger theaters because the owners are allowed to choose how the food is made. Many theaters will use locally grown corn and special oils. Quote, "If we use all the quality ingredients, we can afford the best popcorn," Houston said. "We don't worry about the bottom line. We just want to do what we think is right." Because the owners and managers live in the community in which they work, they have a closeness with their customers. Quote, "You know when people can't afford something," Weissman said. "You can tell by the way a family may study the concession prices." The attention to details and specialties has kept the small-town theaters open. They often draw crowds from the cities with multiplex theaters. Little money is made from the business, but the owners hope to break even. They understand the importance of their little theater. "We have people tell us they like the small town better," Barker said. They don't want to see us close. There are several interesting photos with this article. One shows employees at the Taylorville Cinema giving patrons extra care before a movie, and it depicts a very small concession space. A concession stand that has just the basics. Another one talks about the Roseland Theater in Pana, saying that many small theaters are part of the town's historical downtown, such as that one. And within inside Borman's Roxy Theater, there are just artifacts displayed from its past, including old movie posters. And the final picture is of the Taylorville Cinema, pointing out that this cinema house shows current movie releases. We turn now to page 3 for more local news. This is under the heading Government and Politics. The writer is Allison Petty, and the headline is Council Eyes Fiber Growth. Growth of the city's fiber network could begin later this year, following general signs of approval from the Decatur City Council last week. City officials touted the expansion of fiber possibilities as an economic development tool in a study session March 21st, during which city staff presented information about fiber capabilities and the experiences of other communities that have developed the infrastructure. Several council members expressed excitement, though they also look forward to more financial details. "I just think this is the most exciting opportunity that we have had in a while, and really applaud all the work of staff that has gone into it on every level." That's a quote from Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. "I know this has been backburnered a little bit, but we're happy to have it back on the front burner." Jim Edwards, Management Information Systems Manager, elaborated on the ability of fiber to transmit information faster and over greater distances than copper wiring. In 2014, the city installed a fiber backbone that connects its facilities along Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. The next phase, which Edwards said would cost about $703,000, would connect that line with Richland Community College. The college, in turn, is linked to the rest of the state through the Illinois Century Network. In the future, Decatur officials hope to create a loop of fiber around the city. Economic Development Officer Patrick Coban told the council about what the city had learned from other communities. Notably, he said, the city wants to lease fiber to companies that provide internet rather than act as a service provider itself. We don't want Grandma's Netflix to go down and then have Grandma call the mayor because her Netflix went down, he said. He spoke of Decatur's origins as closely tied to rail and roads, both of which connect people. Fiber is going to be the next thing. It's the next connectivity, he said. If you don't have fiber, you're not going to exist as a city. That's a quotation. The city could turn to a municipal loan or possibly even an internal loan from the water fund to cover the initial cost of the work, City Manager Tim Gleason told the council. He said he could be ready to bring an agenda item forward as soon as its next meeting, April 4th. Another local article is entitled Color Moequa Aqua, and this was written by Donette Beckett. For 15 years, Lewis Jordan has been submitting samples of Moequa's water to the Illinois Rural Water Association Conference for the Best Tasting Water Competition. On February 16th, he was finally able to claim the award. I put the water in a mason jar the day of the convention, he said. They tasted it that afternoon. Jordan will be representing Moequa and Illinois at the National Rural Water Association's Taste Test in February 2017 in Washington, D.C. This competition will require a little more effort. Quote, I will have to ship 2 or 3 gallons before I even arrive there, he said. The tap water sample was taken from the faucet in the village's maintenance shed. During this year's competition, Jordan watched various containers of water, not knowing which was from his hometown. The judges displayed scorecards with a rating of 1 to 10. It is supposed to be off of taste, clarity, and smell, Jordan said. It's just whatever you like. Frank Dunmire, executive director of the Illinois Rural Water Association, compared the judging to other taste testing. It's kind of like wine, he said. Dunmire recommends participants keep the sample in a glass jar and cool. Coolers are available. Samples have to be submitted from various water sources, including surface water plants and groundwater or well water that has been treated. Each judge takes a drink, then reveals a card with the score. They are not to view the other judge's opinion or previous scores. It is a blind taste test, Jordan said. Jordan and his crew didn't do anything different from years past. The contestants are aware of only the winner. We don't know. I could have been close before, he said. The association conference promotes other competitions, including the Water System of the Year. Maroa was recognized as the runner-up for this award. Months before the conference, a representative visits the community's water treatment plants for an inspection that lasts more than an hour. The association's local office is in Taylorville, but representatives are located throughout the state. The rural water departments receive services such as leak detection. Jordan believes that Moequa was just lucky this year. You are competing with the same guys who get their water from the same aquifer that ours is coming from, he said. But I get a lot of compliments about how good our water tastes. One photograph shows Jordan, who is pointing to the water pumps that were added to the treatment facility in 1991. And then he is seen again with a red pickup truck. And he is noted as the water and sewer superintendent, happy to receive the news that Moequa was awarded this honor. And they have a sign on their truck, a painted sign that says, "We put the aqua in Moequa," and they have it spelled out so that aqua stands out, or agua, I guess. Mr. Jordan is also shown demonstrating an iron and a fluoride check at the Moequa Water Treatment Facility. Also on page 3, we find this article from the section Crime and Courts. The headline is, "Mother Interrupts Trial to Tell Son to Take 25 Years for Armed Robbery." This was written by Huey Freeman. The 35-year-old man who was robbed at gunpoint last year outside a convenience store testified that he recognized the robber, Christopher J. Mills, although he didn't know his name at that time. Quote, "I was familiar with his face from him being in my neighborhood," the victim said Monday at the trial of Mills, 24, who was facing 21 to 45 years in prison for Class X armed robbery, if convicted by the jury. Assistant Macon County State's Attorney Lindsay Shelton screened surveillance video that clearly showed Mills in Price Right, 1260 North Jasper Street, immediately before the victim was robbed in the parking lot. There was also footage of Mills interacting with the victim. The victim testified that Mills demanded money, brandished a black revolver, received about $40 from him, and left the scene. The victim said he discovered the name of the robber through acquaintances and research on Facebook. As Mills' mother sat in the courtroom, she apparently realized her son would be convicted as a result of the evidence. After Circuit Court Judge Hugh Finson announced a 10-minute recess, the defendant's mother went out into the hallway and proclaimed, "Stop the trial!" She returned to the courtroom to convince her son to accept a plea deal, which might result in a lesser sentence than a judge's decision. Mills decided to take her advice. Assistant Public Defender Timothy Teige then sought a negotiated settlement, a guilty plea to one count in return for a 25-year term with day-for-day good time. Mills then asked the judge if he could get a lesser sentence, as was previously offered to him by the state. Finson told him the state would drop the other charges, including aggravated discharge of a firearm. That charge related to allegations Mills shot at an occupied vehicle 2 hours after the robbery. Two of the bullets entered the vehicle. Let's turn now to find out what our advice columnists have to say. Here's the first letter to Abby. "Dear Abby, my 29-year-old brother died suddenly last month. It was completely unexpected. He left behind a wife and a 1-year-old son. Although they lived across the country, she allowed us to bring him home for his funeral and burial. I took care of a lot of the arrangements on this end, while she took care of things there and made travel arrangements. At 26, I never expected to be planning a funeral, but it has made me realize how unprepared I was for any unforeseen event. please remind your young readers that it's never too early to take care of some basic plans, including a will. As a single mother, I know how unprepared I was if something should happen to me. While it's not a pleasant thought, it's tougher on the survivors if nothing is in place. When it comes to mortality, it's better to be practical and prepared. And the letter is signed, Still Grieving, But Now Prepared. And here's Abby's answer. Dear Still Grieving, please accept my sympathy for the untimely loss of your brother. I can only imagine how shocking this has been for your family. Mortality isn't a subject that younger people usually dwell on, but if they want what they have to be distributed according to their wishes, or if there are children involved, it's important to put their wishes in writing, regardless of their age. Readers, this includes what you would or would not like done if you can't speak for yourself. Do you want to be on artificial life support if there is no hope for your recovery? How do you feel about becoming an organ donor? Put it in writing. Here's the next letter. Dear Abby, Don and I have been married for 44 years, and our marriage has had its ups and downs. We are now both retired. The problem is that Don does not get along with our 43-year-old son, Chris. He gets along fine with our two daughters. Don and Chris have very different personalities and little in common. Chris lives abroad, but visits frequently and stays with us. During his most recent visit, his father was distant and rude to him. It has happened before and is hurtful to Chris and to me. I have tried speaking with my husband about it, but he never has a good reason for his behavior. When my mother heard what happened, she got angry and said, if I don't divorce Don, she doesn't want to see either of us again. Please help me. I don't know what to do. Signed, Hurt Badly in Oregon. Dear Hurt Badly, after 40 years of marriage, you should have learned by now not to confide your problems in your mother. That your husband seems incapable of tolerating his son because of personality differences is regrettable, but hardly a cause for divorce at this point. If Chris stayed in a hotel during his visits rather than your home, it would provide less opportunity for confrontation, and you both might enjoy the visits more. I hope you will consider it. Mary Hunt's column today is entitled, On Saving Money and Spreading Manure. Why should anyone be concerned about saving money? Have you ever thought about that? Who cares? While you're pondering, I thought I'd share with you the ultimate reason that saving money is so important to me personally. But first, let's define some terms. Saving money is defined in two ways, which many people use interchangeably. Saving is spending less than I would have because an item is on sale or a particularly good deal is offered. It's like saying, wow, I just saved on those really cute boots that originally cost $225 but were on sale for just $188. Saving also refers to accumulating money to be stored in a safe place and not be touched, as in, I save $100 a month by having it automatically transferred to my savings account. Technically, unless you stash away that $37 you saved on the boots and don't touch that money, you're not really saving anything. You're just spending less than you would have if those boots had not been on sale. So why do I save money? I see it as a tiered proposition. My goal is to spend less than I earn so that I have money to save for these purposes. to fund my own emergencies, to prepare for the future when I will no longer have an active income, and to give as much as I can to those in need. There it is. Those are the reasons why I look for every possible way to save as much money as I can. I guess you could say that I look for ways to save now so I really can save in the future. Our author Bruce Larson once said, "Money is another pair of hands to heal and feed and bless the desperate families of the earth." In other words, money is my other self. Money can go where I do not have time to go, where I do not have a passport to go. My money can go in my place and heal and bless and feed and help. A man's money is an extension of himself. That's true of your money only if you're willing to part with it. Or as Thornton Wilder said, "Money is like manure. If you let it pile up, it just smells. But if you spread it around, you can encourage things to grow." I have no idea how many of my readers have taken to making their own laundry detergent, which, by the way, is better and cheaper than any brand name I know of. It must be tens of thousands, given the feedback I've received. Those who do this are saving, at the very least, about 20 cents per load of laundry. It sounds like peanuts, doesn't it? Like two thin dimes. Do a rough calculation to see how many loads of laundry go through your washer every week. I do at least five. 20 cents times five loaves equals $1 saved weekly. That means I'll save $52 in a year. That's respectable, but doesn't make any of us gasp. Now, let's say that 10,000 readers make their own laundry detergent and do at least five loaves a week. They'll each save $52 each year, same as me. But collectively, they'll save $520,000. I knew the answer, but it still makes me gasp. My point, never underestimate the power of saving money. Whether you spend less or put money aside for special circumstances or to do good in the world. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, the issue dated March 29th, 2016. Please stay tuned.